Good afternoon. As I said previously during the introduction, Adam Crack could not be here, so I'm presenting on his behalf as a faculty mentor. So the study was conducted in Belize this past January. I have no relationships to disclose. So this is just an overview of the presentation. We just go through this, but for lack of time, I'm not going to read this out for you. So, alright, so the purpose of the study was pretty much to conduct indoor air quality assessment of some homes in Gales Point. I'll tell you a little bit more about Gales Point. And the whole purpose was to enhance undergraduate students' research skills through an integration of international academic and co-curricular service learning experience. So it was pretty much based on the model of service learning, which is something that our college has done over the years, and I'll discuss a little bit more about that. So the question is, why do we care about indoor air quality? Well, because there is a lot of money that is involved in terms of indoor air quality issues, but more than that, there are significant health issues. Public health issues that challenge us on a daily basis, and some of those are, according to the WHO, indoor quality is a significant public health threat, and it continues to grow. If you look at it, 3 billion people depend on some form of biomass for their cooking, heating, or their energy need worldwide, most especially in sub-Saharan Africa, Asia, and so many other parts of the world, including Central America, where Belize is located. We know that indoor quality has been, attributed to causing so many health problems, including chronic obstructive pulmonary diseases. It's been associated with childhood pneumonia. Over 50% are believed to be due to particulate matter exposure, mainly fine particles. 1.5% of annual lung cancer deaths are due to exposure to carcinogenic materials found in these firewood when they are combusted. The EPA and the advisory board did some studies a few years back and reported, in fact, places indoor air quality as one of their top 5 public health risks. Well, we know that wood smoke contains so many particulate matter, but also other chemical agents that are of significant public health importance, including carbon monoxide, aromatic hydrocarbons, and so on. So here's the problem. In the case of Belize, this is a very small country located in Central America, the only English-speaking country in Central America, with about 340,000 people, about the size of the state of Massachusetts. But they are endowed, in terms of natural gifts. So people go there on vacation. You probably heard of, Belize being referred to as the paradise or so. But they're economically and ecologically diverse, but also have certain vulnerabilities that they face, such as hurricane, flooding, and things like that. But the area we visited, which I will talk a bit about shortly, has some significant indoor quality issues because they are very poor, and of course this also boils down to some socioeconomic concerns. We know, and according to several studies, that women and children are the ones that receive the highest burden of poor indoor air quality. Of course, women do most of the cooking, if not all, in most of these developing countries. And of course, when they are cooking, their children are with them. Some of them tie their children to their back, or they carry them with them. So the smoke exposure, it's not just the mother, but also the children. So there is also the issue of health disparity, because this tend to contribute and reinforce those issues. Now, in terms of health effect, there are so many of them, with regards to exposure to wood smoke. And we know that there are so many airborne hazardous levels of different pollutants, as I mentioned. They are known to trigger asthma attacks and also aggravate so many lung diseases, heart attacks, stroke, and so on. So I just showed this there, but just to give you an idea of the peak world oil production, how we got there. If you remember in the 60s, oil was dead cheap. I mean, less than $2 a barrel to $5 a barrel. But what happened in the 70s, some of you who may remember who were old enough in 1973, there was a significant oil crisis. And that was due to the formation of an organization called OPEC, Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. and they decided to, they were referred to as cartel by the Western world. But what they did was to come together and say, we're going to tell you how much you pay for our oil, not you telling us how much you're going to buy it. And that, you know, has led to the engineers and architects going back to the drawing board to, you know, make our buildings more energy efficient, what we call tight building and so, and that leads to poor indoor quality as a result of that. In terms of this project, I just want to talk a little bit about the service learning program, which the Western Kentucky University College of Health and Human Services has been involved in over the years. It's a multidisciplinary approach, you know, that involves 5 departments, which I've listed here. For the last 2 years, I've been involved with the public. I've led the team for, you know, the public health students that have been involved in this. The interdisciplinary approach allows students to be able to learn from others, you know, and build team skill, give students a different perspective about adult, a different culture and other disciplines too. So it's a team effort. And every year we take anywhere from 22 to, you know, 25 or so students, 27 total in the team for this project. So, again, the goal is to provide service learning experiences to students within our college. And it's a collaborative effort that we do with the Ministry of Health in Belize. So we don't just go there and tell them we want to provide these services to you. They tell us what they need, and based on their needs, we provide these services in this small village called Gales Point. So it's more of an opportunity for community-based participatory research. So if you're wondering, that's the map of Belize. You can see where it's located. It's the only English-speaking country in Central America. Pretty small in size. So these are just some basic facts about Belize. I'm not going to go into it, but it's pretty diverse in terms of ethnicity. The largest group is the Mizo, and then, of course, you have the Creole. The Creole is the population that lives in Gales Point where we did this study. There are so many other, you know, factors that, you know, there. So what is service learning? I guess that's the question about this, which is what we did. Well, it's curriculum-based service learning is supported by a professor who takes students and provide them the academic context in terms of being involved in services. And so the difference is that the academic reflection makes the service learning better than just being ordinary volunteerism. And that's what this is about. So Gales Point is a small rural Creole village in Belize, about less than 500 people as a matter of fact, and it's located on the tip of a peninsula right by the Southern Lagoon, it that fits into the Caribbean Sea. So it's a very beautiful, nice place, and they offer this hiking, sporting, and manatee. That's where they have the largest concentration of this manatee in the world. Some public health challenges are poverty, you know, lack of basic primary health care. They are so isolated. It's a distance of less than 30 miles from the airport in Belize City, but it takes you nearly 3 hours to get there, because the roads are really bad. High farm morbidity, mortality rate, HIV/AIDS are known to be prevalent in the population. And of course, they constantly have to deal with hurricanes and flooding. So these are the 3 key elements that you have to consider when you're doing indoor quality assessment: the source, the HVAC or the pathway that is involved, and the occupants. And so the steps are involved in gathering information. You do a walkthrough inspection, then you conduct your assessment or sampling, as we call it, then you analyze your data and make necessary recommendations. So these are the kind of step-by-step methodology, and those are some instrumentation we use. And just so I say that we also sample for fine particulate matter, but that is not reported here. That's for a different time. So I'm only going to talk about the basic indoor quality assessment that we did. So we measured these 5 basic parameters to assess the indoor quality of about 20 homes in Gales Point. And we sampled, you know, during the day and for about 3 days. And, of course, the area, there were 3 indoor locations, the living room, kitchen, and the bedroom, and then one outdoor for comparison. The instrument we used was direct reading, which means it gives you instantaneous samples and gives you results at the same time, so which is a good thing. You know, you cannot see this table very well, but just to explain, this is the kind of thing, like the temperature in terms of degree Fahrenheit, you can see. It was unseasonably cool this last January, just like it is unseasonably cool in New Orleans during this convention. I was expecting 80, 90 degree weather, but surprising. So, but the temperature was somewhat, you know, and then humidity, you can see, was pretty humid in most days, 80 up to or above 80, you know, percent. The recommended range for humidity is 30 to 60. And reason being that anything above 60 encourages the growth of molds or fungi. Then carbon dioxide, you can see the different levels. There are some spots that, you know, the ones that really stick out. And those are the samples that were collected in the kitchen areas from those homes where firewood was used for cooking. And you can see the same thing with carbon monoxide. Levels as far as maybe over 370 parts per million. The EPA recommended level is 9 parts per million, to put it in perspective. And so in terms of result, you know, these are just the ranges of temperature that we obtained from 71 to 86 degrees Fahrenheit, which, you know, somehow above the ASHRAE, the American Society for Heating, Refrigerating, and Air Conditioning Engineers. You know, it's above their standard. And I can see the relative humidity, as I mentioned previously. The carbon dioxide levels, again, were high compared to what the standards are here in the U.S. And, of course, carbon monoxide, which we call the silent killer because you cannot see it, you cannot taste it, you cannot smell it, obviously was very high in some of those rooms. So here, high levels of indoor air quality parameters were recorded in some of these homes that have used firewood. And, you know, 5 of the 19 homes that we included in these studies had higher levels, especially in the kitchen. And so in terms of conclusion, yes, indoor and outdoor levels exceeded EPA's recommended ambient air quality standards. And these do highlight the need to address some of these issues, important issues that relate to indoor air quality determinants in rural communities, not just Belize, but, you know, other communities. So the key recommendations or conclusions here are that awareness of the problem is very important. Education is key in everything we do. Implementation of a program to reduce the outcome of the exposure is what we are hoping to, you know, be able to address in subsequent visits. The government of Belize has a big role to play in terms of their energy policies, in terms of, you know, providing some control strategies like vented kerosene stove or whatever gas stoves that will prevent, you know, people from using firewood. And, of course, teaching mothers to keep their children away from contact with fires and firewood. There were a number of limitations in this study, and I just listed them here, but for lack of time, and I want to acknowledge, you know, this was funded by the WKU faculty undergraduate student engagement, what we call the FUSE grant, for my undergraduate student who graduated in May. I also want to acknowledge the dean of our college, Dr. John Bonaguro, who is at the back there. We appreciate his support of the Belize program, and also the Minister of Health for allowing us to do what we've been doing. I appreciate your time. I know I can, you know, I guess we have questions at the end. Okay. Right.
Thank you. Very much.